Welcome to Honest Health Hour. This is your host, Karen. And today our guest is Pastor Kevin Dibley from Waterbrook Fellowship out in Victoria, Minnesota. Welcome, Pastor Kevin.
Thanks, Karen. Really happy to be with you.
Thank you. We're honored to have you and sharing your story today. Our program today is called God Makes All Things Beautiful in His Time. There are times in life when things are very difficult, stressful, confusing, and you wonder how it's going to be beautiful. You wonder how your heart's ever going to mend. And God has a way of doing that for us when we allow Him. So Pastor Kevin, just recap a moment for listeners who have just joined us on you and Marianne beginning in life.
Yeah, I had mentioned that Marianne and I, when we were just born into the world, we were born into brokenness like most people are. My mom and dad were going through just a terrible time in their marriage. My dad had been drinking, but my uncle and aunt came in, intervened, and there was just a key change in their lives. But we were just coming in then. Marianne's mom and dad had just lost Marianne's brother, Stanton, at 2 years of age to a brain tumor.
So difficult.
And just at that time, Marianne was born. And so you can just imagine what it's like for people who have this brokenness and these challenges, and now they got this child, or they have children, and they're trying, like most people, you don't just start out kind of with a clean slate. You come into this world, and we're real people with real challenges, and that's what it was like for our families. And yet God began to weave a great story for both of us.
It's so important to share that, because sometimes we think, oh, people were born in the perfect family, in the perfect setting, and everything went so well, because it always looks greener on the other side. And for most of us, that is not the truth. And then where God can take us in that. So you had a significant time at 13 years old also.
Right. That's when I really had a kind of a hunger placed in my life. And I had shared that there was a couple in my home church who had invited all the youth into their house. And I had walked home on a Sunday night and had prayed, God, I just want to learn to love you with all my heart. And that couple began to mentor or pray over me. And I had that going all the way through my high school years. I knew there were people in my corner. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't always see my way through. I mean, you just have the regular challenges of being a teenager.
Right.
And then knowing that my folks were growing and I was beginning to have ambitions for life and heading towards college. And yet the Lord gave me the softness of heart for people who were struggling. And that kind of coincided with my love for Him. Like, the scriptures say the two great commands are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I really believe He began to birth that in my heart.
At that early age.
Yeah.
And you also had an ambition to go into business when you went into college.
Yeah, I liked doing business. I did sales when I was growing up, and I just thought, yeah, this is what I really wanted to do. Pastoring was not on the agenda list, like most pastors would testify. And so I headed off to university with the goal of going into business. But as I got into university, I got involved with a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And I was just looking for friends.
Okay.
And at university, and I made some connections. And then through a small group that I was involved with, I began to be asked to do leadership. I began to teach a little bit, and then I was invited to the National Student Leaders Conference in Montreal, Canada. And while I was there, I just had these doors opening up to me. I had not written out the plan. This was not my story. It was not on my list. But as a result of that, you can see that my life was being directed away from what I thought I wanted and what I thought I needed and where I thought my joy would be. And it was actually God directing the answer to the prayer I had prayed when I was 13, even though I wasn't clear-minded enough to know how to pursue that.
Sure, we don't always know.
Right?
God knows. So when you were asked to do something it was quite an honor.
Right. When I was in Montreal, they asked me to go on the National Student Leaders Conference team. And so we had planned a university leaders event in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And when I was there, I was asked by the general director for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship to begin traveling to campuses across Canada, college campuses, university campuses, and speak on their behalf.
Okay.
But I had become engaged that year to be married, and the thought of traveling my first year of marriage was not on the
not a good idea.
Yeah, so I took another path and I turned that down.
Okay.
And I had already begun to change my ambition towards business, because part of my schooling, I got to teach at an alternative high school for kids who didn't fit in the regular system.
Okay.
And I really loved that. And there was this thought in my head, maybe I could meld my business skills or ideas with helping people. I was trying to wrestle, but the real wrestling was there was this calling going on in my life. And it was being called in a very different direction than I had planned.
It takes a little shift sometimes within us.
That's right.
And we can, and you said you stayed up or awake most of a night wrestling with it. And then your then wife, what did she have to say about that?
Well, at that time, I had decided that I was going to become a university professor. I thought I could make a decent living. I could still help people, that thing. And I went into a social policy class in my master's degree, first year. And the professor stood up at the beginning of social policy class and he said, if you're going to design social policy, then you're going to have to identify the root causes and not just the symptoms, which is always the challenge when you're trying to be wise and healthy and well.
All right, get to the root of it.
Is to get to the root of what's really going on here. But as I looked at the root causes, I thought to myself, I have something that has got me through life, that I have to offer, that is different than probably most other people in this room. I needed to tell them of the hope that I had in the Lord. And so I came home that night and late at night told Faith, who was my wife at that time. She's passed away now. But at that time, and I said, you know, I have to go to seminary. And she just said, I know. And it was one of those scenarios where everybody else had knew the where the story was headed, and I was kind of dragging my feet along, but it was so clear I had to go.
Who had to go?
Yeah.
You are listening to Honest Health Hour, and this is Wellness Radio 1570. We have so much we want to share with you about health and life and hope and our love for God. And we are also doing this in podcasts, so you can go to TwinCitiesWellnessRadio.com and hear these podcasts, share them, link them at any time. Otherwise, you can always listen to the program on Thursdays at 3 p.m. and Saturdays at 6 p.m. So, Pastor Kevin, you were married, you decided to go into the ministry, and then there was some real challenges ahead.
Yeah, similar to what I said about Marianne and I, my daughter, Lauren, who is our second daughter, she was born into brokenness as well, because I had left seminary and traveled into the north in Canada to the city of Thunder Bay to pastor my first church. But as we were driving up, Lauren was 6 weeks old, Faith felt a lump in her neck, and she said to me, do you have a lump in your neck right here? And I felt and thought, well, everything's lumpy in my neck. It sort of feels, I don't know. But she was a nurse. And within a few weeks of starting out our church ministry, she was diagnosed with advanced Hodgkin's disease. And the cancer was through her whole lymph system from her neck down to her groin. And so she began treatment for that. And so I started my ministry kind of with these two little girls. I had a two-year-old girl and a 6-week-old girl.
So young, so new in your marriage.
Right. They used to call Lauren, as she was growing, called that first while the hospital mummy's house. Just the first few years she was in and out. She had ended up having to have a bone marrow transplant. And so those first couple of years, I would prepare my studies in the chemo ward while she was getting treatment.
Not an easy time.
No, it was not. And certainly not the story we would have written for any of us. And so, you know, I thank God I had the background of the faithfulness of people who were praying for me and mentoring me and deeply connected. And I had moved into a community that wrapped themselves around us, so we weren't walking through this alone.
So as a family, you had support?
That's right. In fact, some of the people up there have became grandma and grandpa and so on to the kids, even though we were far away from our family physically. We had moved 1,000 miles north of Toronto or northwest of Toronto.
And Canada is so huge.
Yeah, it's so vast. And so that was one of the things, is that we really found that there were people who just gathered around us and helped me parent the girls and kept me encouraged and took care. There were times when Faith would have to go and stay in the home of somebody in the church because she was just so ill, or else they would take the kids because she couldn't take care of them. So it was a partnership that got us through.
That's when you really see how we need each other and how we are, in a healthy way, codependent and interdependent, and we're not doing this life by ourselves.
Yeah, and there's no desire on my part to live my life independent. And that's actually has flooded into my girls' lives.
They also understand that. I want to talk more about that when we come back, because of how connected your family is, even though they're in different parts of the world, and what that looks like. Because you mentioned once you wanted a family that looks like heaven.
Right,
and
exactly.
God does answer our prayers. So that gets very interesting when we open our hearts and lives to that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Honest Health Hour, and I'm your host, Karen. You're listening to Wellness Radio 1570. You can contact me by Karen at Honest Health Hour. The number is 612-466-0270. Our guest today is Pastor Kevin Dibley from Waterbrook Fellowship here in Victoria, Minnesota. We are talking about God makes all things beautiful in His time, not our time, His time. And you have some great encouragement for us when we come back.
Welcome to One Healthy Minute. Here's Karen, your natural health professional.
Are you a young person, a parent, a grandparent, or a kid at heart? Are you looking for meaning and purpose in your life? This is a good thing, as each of us are here for a purpose greater than ourselves. When it comes to the reality of what is important in life, one for me is knowing God in a personal way. Two is taking good care of my body, mind, soul, and spirit. And three is healthy relationships with family and friends. Would you like to learn more in discovering new ways of healthy living in today's world? We are here to share our passion, purpose, stories, and discoveries of health, life, and wellness. Please join me Thursdays at 3 p.m. and Saturdays at 6 p.m. and hear more at TwinCitiesWellnessRadio.com. The time has arrived for you to know the truth and live in joy each day, 1 minute at a time.
Wellness Radio 1570 is mobile to fit your active lifestyle. Stream us at iHeartRadio.com or download the free iHeartRadio app. Then search for Twin Cities Wellness Radio. Hear great local shows like Hair, Head, and Heart while you hit the treadmill. Take Like It Matters Radio with you on your bike ride, or catch River Ahava Wellness while you prep tomorrow's superfood-filled breakfast. Wellness Radio 1570 is on the move with the iHeartRadio app.
Luwak Heating and Air, legendary service, install and repair. We'll fix anything with legendary care.
Want to keep your family warm this season? Call Blue Ox Heating and Air now for their legendary special. Save up to $2,067 off a new high-efficiency furnace and AC system. Includes up to a 15-year care-free parts and labor warranty. This legendary special ends soon, so call today, 7634 Blue Ox, or find them online at GoBlueOx.com.
Welcome to One Healthy Minute. Here's Karen, your natural health professional.
Recently, we've been experiencing sickness throughout our country. Every age group is affected, from babies to seniors. What I do is give my body what it needs to protect and support my immune system. This works to defend me from unwanted invaders such as microorganisms. My daily nutrients include Nature Sunshine's Probiotic 11, Immune Stimulator, B vitamins, vitamin C, and capsicum, which is red pepper. To learn more in your discovery of health, please go to loveforherbs.mynsp.com, L-O-V-E, number 4, H-E-R-B-S.mynsp.com. Call or text me at 612-466-0270.
The time has arrived for you to enjoy your health and each day of your life, 1 minute at a time.
Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace.
Welcome to Honest Health Hour. This is Karen, your host. Today, our guest is Pastor Kevin Dibley from Waterbrook Fellowship. We're sharing truth as we discover how to live well in today's world. And Pastor Kevin, you were newly married. You had two little girls. How old were they?
They were 6 weeks and 2 years old when Faith found out that she had cancer.
And you got this devastating news. And then what happened from there? What was God's plan in all of that, do you think?
Well, there's a couple of things I would say. One of the things that Faith had a prayer that the Lord would allow her to live long enough to see the girls grow up. And you can't write those stories, but that was a sincere prayer of her life that she would be able to have an influence on the girls. And so she had been a runner. She was an athletic. She was really a healthy person all the way around and a joyful person. That's the other side. If anybody
knew her, that's a big part.
Knew she was very joyful. And the Lord answered that prayer. She was, in fact, my girls would probably tell you now that their memory of her is a very healthy person.
Isn't that something for as serious as the diagnosis was, almost losing her with a bone marrow transplant?
Right.
And here God answers her prayer that she lives
another 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah, and that was, she lived long enough, I guess almost 16 years from the initial, because she lived long enough to be at Lauren, who's my youngest, at her 16th birthday, and she was at Kathy's high school graduation.
That is a miracle.
And again, for my girls, the upbringing was just one of real blessing and love, and they look back on that as very positive. So they don't look retrospectively on the story as one dominated by pain, but rather by encouragement and hope. So I'm glad for that.
That is truly fascinating. Through that time, did your wife continue to do healthy things, and was she able to run?
Yeah, that's I had shared with you the other day when we were chatting a little bit that on the day after her funeral, the girls and I, and we had a yellow lab named Abby, went for a run on her route because she always ran. And we ran the same route. It was the very day after the funeral. And as a dad, you know, there's this little ache in your heart because I'm thinking, here I am with these teenage girls. And I think, you know, part of my mind was going, God, you took the wrong one. This is when they need their mom.
Right.
But my oldest daughter, Kathy, said at the end, we were coming up the cul-de-sac. I remember it vividly. She looked at me and said, Dad, you know, we really don't have much to risk. And I knew immediately what she meant. She had seen her mom go through the process of dying with hope. And she realized life is short. We might as well live it as fully as we can for God. And, you know, as a dad, you're thinking of all the potential scenarios of what your child might feel, anger, bitterness. Neither of the girls came out that way.
The reason I was giggling just a little bit, as a parent, I would think, oh, if they think there's no risk, oh my goodness, what are they going to ask us to do? But then your daughters did come with some questions.
That's right. Actually, the year before.
Oh, it was the year
it
before.
It was the year before that, or even a little bit longer, a little over a year, Lauren had come. She's the youngest one, and she was 14 at that time, going to have her 15th birthday over the summer. She said, Dad, we want to go to Africa. They were both very good soccer players. And they said, we want to go to Africa and run soccer camps for AIDS orphans. And I'm going, what? And then so her mom and I prayed about that.
Okay.
And made the decision that one of the best things that could happen for a North American child is to get out of the bubble of our affluence and ease in North America and go to see what it's like for many others in the world. So we investigated carefully, and then we gave them permission. And so the year before Faith died, Kathy and Lauren spent the whole summer working in Zambia and then in Ethiopia with AIDS orphans, running soccer camps and sharing their hope and singing. And, you know, again, we don't write our story. You know, God makes all things beautiful, Ecclesiastes says, in his time. And what happened was the girls went there to help others, came back, and their story would be that they were the ones that were helped, which is often the story for us. They came back and they said, you know, they had watched, you know, kids that were 10 and 11 years old who had no parents.
None at all.
None at all, caring for their siblings. And then the next year, they were going to lose their mom to cancer. And I really did see the girls not just have strength and hope that this could be done, but also take care of themselves. And, you know, to be honest, they took
probably
care of me.
Took care of you.
Yeah.
I think they still kind of do.
They do.
Actually,
yeah.
You know, it would really change the perspective. One, when you travel and when you get out of the country, it really broadens your world.
Right.
And then the perspective of this, of children that were orphans dealing with HIV, mm-hmm. AIDS, not having parents, taking care of their siblings. I want the people to know that they're listening to Pastor Kevin Dibley from Waterbrook Fellowship out in Victoria, Minnesota. And this is Honest Health Hour. I'm Karen, your host. And we share real truth, real life, and real stories mm-hmm. in this program because that is what we want and need. We need connection. We need mentorship. And you're listening to Wellness Radio 1570. The thing is that we think we write our stories. That is what the world is telling us. Write your stories. Make sure you're the author. And when we surrender to God and He writes our stories, God makes all things beautiful in His time. So the girls have been in this other country. They've experienced this. Mom passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And you had asked God for a family that looked like heaven. What does that mean and how does that play out?
This is a prayer request that I had. So you'll hear that our stories are answers to prayer for all of us. We've had so many answers to prayer, but the way the prayers aren't answered are always the way we would have them be answered.
True.
So one of the things that, one of the quotes I wanted to give you today is from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote about pain. He said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains." It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so, you know, my girls had these megaphones in their lives. My daughters did. And what happened for them, of course, is that through going to Africa and coming to the conclusion that life was short and they didn't have anything to risk, both of them had a hunger to go out and serve other people. And Kathy, the year her mom died, she was going to go away to college in the U.S. into a missionary nursing program. She ended up staying home, and she's now an ER nurse in Toronto.
Okay.
But that's her life, and she feels really called. Lauren, on the other hand, has moved to Honduras, and she lives in Tegucigalpa, which is in many ways one of the most dangerous cities in the world, and she loves it there. And so I had prayed over the girls that the Lord might grant to them, and I didn't know how He was going to work this out, grant to me the privilege of having a family that looks like heaven. And what I meant by that is in heaven there's such diversity, every tribe, every tongue, every nation gathered around the throne. And God answered that prayer. He brought Steve into Kathy's life in Toronto, who she didn't know when she moved there. And he's Korean-Canadian background. So I have a Korean son-in-law. And then Lauren now lives in Honduras. And she is married to Diego de la Vega. And Diego is Honduran. And he's fluent in many languages, but he's a Honduran. So the Lord has given us. Now I have a little granddaughter, Corey, named after Corey Ten Boom. And we have a couple of grandbabies on the way.
So you have nationalities right there, and you're a Canadian formerly, and you met Marianne.
Right.
And she's American from California.
Yeah, I never would have written the story this way. We actually have a humorous part to meeting because I was living in Ontario, Canada.
All right.
And she was living near Ontario, California. And we actually ended up meeting online, but it looked like we were from the same place. We ended up being about as far apart. But see, God had already begun our story together by working in Marianne's life because she had worked for years for IBM, but on her times off, she would travel around the world doing missions. And that was her heart.
So she had a heart for missions also,
she does. She had decided that she wanted to become a teacher, wanted to invest in people's lives. She became a middle school teacher, and she started running an English as a second language school
okay.
for mothers in Southern California who their kids were going to school to learn English, but the kids would become proficient quicker than the moms, and to help the moms be able to communicate with
take
their
it home.
Kids. Right.
So she had a full plate.
She did. She was a very busy woman, but God gave her this, and then it might be funny for people to hear this, but she got something called spasmodic dysphonia.
Oh.
And that ended her ability to speak publicly out loud. She couldn't project. But I'm thankful for that, because in that part of the story, God was working to bring her into our lives. And so it was kind of a neat experience, although it was very painful for her at the time to adventured out into that and then feel like a door was shutting.
There again, you say, God, what's going on? You gave me this call. This is my heart. And now are you taking something away from me? But what we don't always realize is that it's in those dark moments and in that heartache that we actually get planted right where he wants us, and the roots go deeper and the picture gets wider.
Absolutely.
So we're talking to Pastor Kevin Dibley, and his wife is Mary Ann, who we're speaking about today, and his family. And they are with Waterbrook Fellowship in Victoria, Minnesota. This is Honest Health Hour. I am Karen, and you can reach me at 612-466-0270 or email me at KarenHonestHealthHour.com. This is Wellness Radio 1570, and we are glad that you are here.
Welcome to One Healthy Minute. Here's Karen, your natural health professional.
Silver has been used for centuries not only as a commodity of trading, it also is sought after for healthy benefits. The Romans utilized silver coins in water barrels to inhibit the growth of bacteria. Today, hospitals utilize silver in several ways to protect the patient and medical staff. Now, advances in science have taken liquid silver from colloidal to nano-sized particles, making silver bioavailable in liquid and gel formulas. To learn more, go to loveforherbs.mynsp.com. L-O-V-E, number 4, H-E-R-B-S. MYNSP.com. Text or call me 612-466-0270.
The time has arrived for you to enjoy your health and each day of your life, 1 minute at a time.
Benjamin Franklin Plumbing will clear your drain, guaranteed, or it's free. The experts at Benjamin Franklin will clean any drain for $150, and they're so sure they can unclog your toughest drain that if they can't, it's free. Service includes free camera inspection, too. Don't spend the better part of your day waiting for a plumber to show up or wondering if they can actually do the job. If Ben Franklin can't clear the drain, it's free. Some restrictions apply. Call Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, the punctual plumbers. 877-BEN-1776.
TheFishTwinCities.com is home to the best in today's Christian music.
The best melodies.
One step for arms wide open.
The top artists. And the greatest message.
Listen on TheFishTwinCities.com and with the free mobile app. The Fish Twin Cities. Safe for the whole family.
Welcome to One Healthy Minute. Here's Karen, your natural health professional.
Are you a young person, a parent, a grandparent, or a kid at heart? Are you looking for meaning and purpose in your life? This is a good thing, as each of us are here for a purpose greater than ourselves. When it comes to the reality of what is important in life, one for me is knowing God in a personal way, two is taking good care of my body, mind, soul, and spirit, and three is healthy relationships with family and friends. Would you like to learn more in discovering new ways of healthy living in today's world? We are here to share our passion, purpose, stories, and discoveries of health, life, and wellness. Please join me Thursdays at 3 p.m. and Saturdays at 6 p.m. and hear more at TwinCitiesWellnessRadio.com. The time has arrived for you to know the truth and live in joy each day, 1 minute at a time.
Welcome to Honest Health Hour. This is Karen. We have Pastor Kevin Dibley with us. And Pastor Kevin, we're talking about God makes all things beautiful in His time. Marianne is your wife. And tell us how God used something that could have been very devastating to help her in her mission in life.
Yeah, so Marianne got diagnosed with spasmodic dysphonia, which is an over-vibration of her vocal cords. As a result of that, she wasn't able to project, which of course means she couldn't teach anymore publicly. Mm. And she was a middle school teacher. She had sought to do that. So in that period of time is when we met. And she ended up moving to Canada. We're such a cross-nation family. So she ends up moving to Canada, where the winters are long. And because she couldn't speak, she began to write. And the Lord had put on her heart, God had put on her heart a desire to teach English in the Bible. And there are Bible dictionaries out there. She's very good at technical stuff. And there are dictionaries out there, but they often don't have Bible themes, or they're not modest. They're secular. And so in some cultures in the world, they're not received very well.
No, they wouldn't be allowed.
So she got time in these long winters up in Canada to write this Bible picture dictionary. And she had artists working from all over the world, and they were teaching the top 1,000 words in the English language using art and photography. And she got that done, and she started a web page where people could access the resources as well. And she thought what would happen, again, this is our story, she thought that it would probably be used by Latino communities in Houston or L.A. or Minneapolis, some of the major cities. What she discovered was that there were large numbers of people accessing her webpage and her resources from India, from Pakistan, from Sudan, from Ethiopia, outside of her viewpoint altogether. She just vantage point. She didn't expect it. And it became something far greater than she imagined. And so she's now, that's what she does. She's an English as a second language teacher, and primarily bringing people to collaborate together to teach Bible and English online and make resources available. So
her world really exploded. It expanded by God utilizing something that could have been a negative. And rather than giving up, Marianne has a website, BibleAndEnglish.com.
That's right, Bible and spell out A-N-D, English.com. And she would love it if people just needed resources or made use of the resources there.
And they're going to be doing an update soon. They're working on so many things.
Yeah.
So that is very exciting. Now, your multicultural family, your daughter in Canada married a man who's Korean.
Right, that's right.
Your daughter in Honduras.
Right, is married to Honduran.
And she teaches Spanish, correct?
She does. She's fluent in Spanish and French and English, and she teaches at a Honduran school. She also coaches soccer down there. That's still in the family, and her high school team just won the national championships in Honduras last weekend.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So. It's so great that your kids went out there and lived life like there is not much risk, because it really has not only been to their benefit, but to the people that they help and minister to, which always helps our worlds. You know, it's in helping others that we help ourselves. And then we wonder sometimes when we try to write our own story, how we mess it up, you know, how we all are broken. And you talk about something about the disappointment and this American dream, mm-hmm. when it is not what we thought. How do you put that into words?
Well, Waterbrook, and most of us who live in North America don't really realize how well we have it, or we do sometimes, but we're located in one of the most affluent communities in Minnesota. And I've said to our folks that our ministry is to minister to what I call the refugees from the American dream.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is there are people who have this promise that if they work hard, invest all their energy, that the story will go the way they hope the story will go. But it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
In Ecclesiastes, which is, you know, Solomon, some people call it Solomon's confession letter. He prayed for wisdom, made a lot of mistakes, gets to the end of his life, and speaks grandfatherly back. He says this. He says, God has placed eternity in man's hearts, but has done it so that we cannot find out where it's going. And what he means by that is all of us long for significance, belonging and acceptance, meaning, and beauty. We all have those at the core because we're made in the image of God.
Right, being loved.
God is the creator God who mm-hmm. gives meaning, gives purpose, makes all things beautiful in its time. But what God has done is he's not given us the whole story. He's just giving us a longing for it. And, you know, when C.S. Lewis was converted, my wife used to live in C.S. Lewis's house. It's part of our
story.
That
is fascinating.
Yeah. Anyways, when C.S. Lewis was converted, he was a friend with J.R.R. Tolkien, who is the famous for the Lord of the Rings series.
That's how
right. people normally. And Tolkien and Lewis would have discussions, and their fascination, they both had a passion for Icelandic mythology and stories. And that's why if you watch Lord of the Rings, Tolkien has this whole elvish language that he wrote. But they would have conversations in Oxford at what's called the bird and the baby or the child and the eagle and child. And Tolkien would talk to Lewis about the true myth. And what he meant by that, and Lewis discovered, was that in each of us is a longing for a greater story.
There is.
And we want our story to have our own stories to have meaning. And Lewis discovered that there's a story over all the stories.
Mm.
And it's we call it history, but it's God's story. And that's what drew him to first out of atheism to theism, and then from theism to the story of Jesus Christ. And Tolkien was part of that, walking through the discovery that there is a larger story. And God intends us to walk in community with each other and in community with him in that story. So he doesn't give you the whole story. He's the writer. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
That's right.
We don't write the story. We trust him. We rest in him. We look to him. Sometimes the plot changes are brutal. We look at this and go, man, I would not have written the story. But I believe, because this life is so short, as my daughter Kathy said, there really isn't much to risk because it goes by quick, that one day we'll get to the end of the story and we'll look back and realize that we were made. This is just chapter one. We were made for an everlasting
eternal
story, an eternal story. And in that story, there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more cancer, no more death.
No tears.
No more tears. He'll
no
wipe
pain.
Away every tear. And that's because Jesus himself came and took on our sorrows, took on our sin, took on our suffering, died as we die in our place, rose triumphantly from the dead to tell us that this story goes on. In C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, when he gets to the end of it, in the last battle,